will, and turn to the 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to try to preach a message to you tonight. Lord willing, will help all of us. Not only will it help me, because I'm going to preach to myself tonight. It's a message that I need. But it's also going to help our church tonight if we heed to the Word of God. Here in 2 Kings chapter 4, it's a familiar passage with a lot of us. It's a story that's read many a times. Many times they take this story and no doubt they talk about faith and they talk about prayer and they talk about obeying the man of God. But tonight I want to try to preach about the testing of our faith. Let's look here, if you would, in 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Read along with me. The Bible says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the son of the prophet unto Elias, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And that the creditors is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Even empty vessels borrow, not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels was full, and she said unto her sons, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children in rest. My friend, I want to try to preach to you for just a little bit. The testing of our faith. Let's pray. Father, help our hearts tonight, God, as I preach, help myself, help my family. God, help our dear brothers and sisters in Christ. God, that you'll help our church tonight. And by all means, those who are lost and know without Jesus. Maybe they might be a visitor or a church member. I have no idea who they are. But God, tonight I pray they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And God, be saved. God, help us tonight to see this message about the testing of our faith. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. This is one thing that God does in our lives. If you're born again, if you're saved, God always tests your faith. You remember the Bible says God did tempt Abraham, and that word tempt has two meanings. It means to be tempted with evil, but God cannot tempt any man with evil. Because God's a just and righteous and holy God. So he'll never tempt a man to sin. He'll never tempt a person to lie. He'll never tempt a person to steal. He'll never tempt a person to cheat. But God said he did tempt Abraham. In other words, he tested Abraham. He tested Abraham's faith. You remember God told Abraham, I make thee a great nation. Thy seed shall be a great nation. Abraham's name was Abram, which means the father of one. And God changed his name to Abraham, which means the father of many. And Abraham and Sarah decided to try to help God out. So Abraham took Ishmael, took a handmaiden from Sarah. And my friend, she conceived. And she conceived a son and called him Ishmael and all of that. But God still said, hey, I'm going to give you a promised seed. I'm going to give you a child that's going to be a great nation. And so Isaac was born, my friend. And we see a great nation here in Abraham. But I want you to notice, God says, Abraham, I'm going to tempt you. I'm going to test your faith. Abraham said, God said, Abraham, take thy son, thy only son, Isaac, and take him up to a mountain which I'll tell thee of, and sacrifice him there. I want you to take his life and kill him. Abraham didn't understand God, but yet he said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll be willing to do that. And for 3 days, Abraham and Isaac and their servants, my friend, for 3 days they traveled, and finally he lifted up his eyes and saw the hill which God told him of. And there he told these two young men, he said, hey, you stay here with the ass, and me and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we'll come again to you. So Abraham and Isaac started climbing the mountain together. Isaac had the wood and the fire and the knife. And he looked at his father and said, Abraham, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham, he said a great statement. He said, God will provide himself a lamb. In other words, God will provide himself to be a lamb for those who need salvation. But not only that, but God will provide a lamb, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ and God is the same, my friend. I can't explain it to you, but they're the same in one. So God said, I'll provide myself a lamb, but I will provide myself a lamb to take away your sins. And my friend, as Abraham and Isaac was climbing up this side of the mountain, a ram was climbing up that side of the mountain. And right at the time where Abraham needed his prayers answered, that ram was caught in the thicket. I want to encourage you tonight, my friend, to keep on praying, to keep on marching forward, to keep on going on. As you coming up this side of the mountain, the answer to your prayer is coming up the other side of the mountain. And my friend, as you keep on marching on and pressing on, you'll meet the answer to your prayers. But God said, Abraham, I'm going to tempt you. I want you to kill your son. Abraham put him on the wood, where it speaks about our sin. Had the fire, speaks about judgment. Had the knife, that speaks about life. And Abraham was going to take that knife and stab it into his son's heart and take his son's life and then set that wood on fire. And that fire was going to consume the wood and consume his son, and all would be burned up. But thanks be to God, we've got a Savior that took the knife for us, my friend, that took God's judgment upon him. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our death so we can have his life. He took our judgment so we can have his blessings. He took our wrath so we can have, my friend, his grace. What is grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ had to give his life so we can receive the grace of God. But here God said, Abraham, I'm going to tempt you. And as soon as Abraham pulled that knife up to run into his son's heart, and he heard a voice from heaven say, hey, stop what you're doing, because God's provided a way. And God says, hey, I know that you love me, that you're willing to kill your son and give his life to me. And Abraham, I provided a sacrifice for you. Here, you might not see it yet, but God used this woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 to demonstrate the testing of our faith. I want you to know, if you're saved by God's grace, God will tempt your faith. God will test your faith. God will stretch your faith. And God, my friend, is trying to make somebody that you're not able to be on your own. My friend, God's trying to make something out of your life today. God's trying to stretch you and mold you and make you. We're in the clay in the potter's hand, and we're in the will of God. We're right in the center of God's will, and he's got his hands inside of us. He's got his hands on the outside of us, and he's molding and making out of our lives what he wants us to be as a Christian. I didn't choose to be a preacher. God chose that for me. And it's not a job, it's a calling. God called me to be a preacher, and God called me to be a pastor, and God's called me, my friend, to be a husband, and to be a father, and to be a son. God allowed all these things in my life, and nothing God provides in your life ever conflicts with something else. If you're a wife this morning, it should not and does not conflict with you being a mother. If you're a wife and a mother, it does not conflict with you being a Sunday school teacher. As long as God has called these things into your life. But many times we know, as Christians, we put more stuff on us than what we should. As a Christian, we allow more things in our lives than what we should. We've got to be very careful about what we allow to come in our lives. I don't want to talk much about it, but this summer, they signed me up for 4 more classes during the summer. Summer is only a 10-week class. Normally, a semester is 15 weeks, so I've got to cram 15 weeks into 10 weeks of school. They signed me up for 4 classes, and by all means, I need education, but I don't need that bad, I don't believe. And I prayed about it. I told my wife, I said, it's getting to be too much going to school. It's starting to take away from things that I need to be doing. I want you to help me pray. Pray about God's will. I talked to Brother Robert. I said, help me pray about what God wants me to do in my life. And I believe I talked to one more person. I said, just help me pray. I told my mom this morning, they signed me up for a class, and only 5 people was in part of the class, so they didn't want to pay the professor the money to teach only 5 people, so they canceled the class. I went to my academic advisor, and I told her they canceled my class, and I won't be able to be in English. She'll be able to tell that here in a little bit. I won't be able to be in English class this year. And she said, well, hey, you got to sign up for another class. You got to have 4 classes. You got to have them. If we're going to pay for it, you got to have them. You got to have 4 classes. She made a real big deal about it. So I went to the one that was over to schooling, and she said, I'm sorry to tell you, it's too late. You can't add another class. She said, it's too late. You can't add another class. It's just impossible for you to add another class to your schedule. Preacher Scott, what are you saying? I'm saying sometimes we pray about things. We've got too much on us. We've taken on too much responsibility. We've engaged in too many things. We've got too many hours in the frying pan, my friend, and we got to pray about it and ask God to take some of this junk off of us. We got to ask God to take some of this stuff off of us. We got to ask God, my friend, to try to clear it sometimes in our lives so we can spend it with Him. And thank God He cleared off some of my schedule. Here, this testing of our faith. I want you to notice what's going on here in verse 3. The Bible says, then he said, go. The man of God told this widow lady that has just lost her husband. And his creditors has come to take her two sons away from her. So now her husband's gone, her two sons is going to be taken away. She has nothing. So she comes to the man of God and she said, hey, Elijah, I'm in trouble. I need some help. What should I do? And here's the response the man of God gave her. Let's look here in verse 3. The Bible says, then he said, go. Borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels borrow, not a few. I want you to notice, borrowing her got her in just trouble. When her husband borrowed, it got him in trouble. And now the man of God says, hey, I want you to go borrow some more. I'm not telling you now if you're financially struggling to go out and borrow money. I'm not telling you to refinance your house. I'm not telling you if you don't have a job and you don't have an income, don't trade your truck in that's paid off for a payment that you can't afford. But here, Elijah told her, hey, I want you to tell you something. Go out and borrow. Go out and test your faith. Go out and stretch your faith because we know God can provide. Many times what God tells us to do goes against all reasoning. Many times what God tells us to do in our own Christian life goes against everything the world has taught us not to do. The world knows, you know. If you don't have the money, you can't buy it. But here, notice the response. The precept of our faith. The word precept means a law or a commandment. The man of God says here in verse 3, then he said, go. He said, go. The testing of our faith, many times in our Christian lives, we've got to go. We've got to go and do what God wants us to do. Many times we run into a problem as this woman run into a problem. These creditors come and said, hey, we're going to take your sons. You got two sons. What if they come up the sister Tracy and I said, hey, you owe a whole bunch of money. Your husband's dead. There's no way he can pay for it. You don't have a job. You can't pay for it. We're going to take Lizzie and Faith and they're going to be our bondsmen. They're going to work and work your debt off, but it's going to take them the rest of their life to work off what you accumulated. And she runs to the man of God, and the man of God says, hey, just have faith that God will provide a way. How is she going to have faith? Is she going to just sit in her house and mope and groan and complain all the time, my friend? Hey, it's not up to us as a Christian to try to figure out God. It's up to us as a Christian just to trust in God. And the man of God said, hey, just go. Just go out and do what you normally do. Go out and be a witness for Christ and keep on going to church when times is bad and times is hard and times is difficult. Don't leave God's house. Don't leave God's people. Don't leave the preaching of God, my friend. Hey, just be in God's house and be around God's people when times is difficult and times is hard and you're going through a slump and you're going through a rut in your life. Hey, just cling to God's people. Just embrace God's people. Hey, just wrap your arms around God. Here the man of God says, hey, go. And notice what he says, borrow. He says, go and borrow vessels. He says, go out and borrow. I want you to really understand this tonight. The testing of our faith. What is he saying here in verse 3? Then he said, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, but borrow not a few. He says, I want you to go, and I want you to borrow, and I want you to get empty vessels. Here, this woman, she has nothing to pay her creditors with. She has nothing to make the finances with. She has no money, my friend, to make the payments. But here the man of God says, hey, I want you to go. I want you to go. I want you to borrow vessels from your neighbors and borrow not a few, but make sure they're all empty. I want you to notice what she had in her house. Look here if you would. In verse 2, the Bible says, Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thy handmaid has not anything in thy house save a pot of oil. Save a pot of oil. Hey, my friend, that's our Christian life tonight. There's nothing in this. You ain't got to worry about me spilling it. But this is our life tonight. We've just got something small, something that's insignificant to the world, something that we think might not be able to be used by God. I look at my life. We had a chance the other day to go to Billy Graham's library. Wonderful, wonderful building. I appreciated what he done at the beginning of his ministry. And then he got away from it seemed like the gospel and got into the crowd and wanted a bigger crowd and bigger crowd. But I appreciate the fact at the beginning of his ministry, he preached Christ crucified and the only way of salvation. And we walked into the building. They charged us no admission fee. We walked into a beautiful building. Cost, I don't know, millions of dollars. And we was fabricated. And we was amazed. We was shocked how beautiful this building was. But you know what they done? They took something small and used it for God. And God turned around and made it big. Here, God said, hey, what do you have in your house? And she said, I just got a little pot of oil. I don't have much, just a little pot of oil. He said, hey, I want to test your faith. Would you be willing to go and borrow from your neighbors empty vessels? Tonight you say, Preacher Scott, I can't do much. But you've got a mouth and you got arms and you got legs and you've got some knowledge of the King James Bible. You've got the Holy Spirit of God. And you say, Preacher, I can't teach Sunday school. Preacher, I can't preach the gospel. Preacher, I stutter or spit. I can't remember verses. I'm shy. I'm timid. I'm scared to death. And preacher, what can I do? Hey, the preacher's going to tell you, hey, go and borrow from God. Just let God do what he can do. Hey, just borrow God's strength and borrow God's power till you get your own. He said, go, borrow empty vessels. Well, that don't make any sense, does it? She's in need. She needs money to pay her creditors. And here the man of God says, hey, go borrow from your neighbors empty vessels. I don't know a whole lot, but what is an empty vessel going to do? What is something? What is zero plus zero, zero? He says, hey, I want you to go and borrow empty vessels. Many times what God tells us to do makes no sense. You say, Preacher Scott, I want my family saved. You know what God says? Go out and get another family saved, and then your family might get saved. You say, Preacher Scott, I don't have enough money to buy my lunch this week. Hey, go out and buy somebody else's lunch, and God might provide for you to get lunch yourself this week. You say, Preacher Scott, my shoes is tearing up. My shoes is falling apart. What should I do? Hey, go out there and take care of the poor and take care of the lame and take care of the needy and do it in Christ's name and do it for Jesus. And then Jesus might just provide a new pair of shoes for you. He said to this lady, go out and borrow vessels from your neighbors. Not only the precept is a command. God says, go. I want you to notice this, if you will, the place of our faith. Where is the place of our faith? That is in verse 3. All of us are going to be in verse 3 tonight. The Bible says, go borrow the vessels abroad. He said, I want you to go abroad. He said, I want your faith to be abroad. He says, just don't accumulate your faith in a church building. Just don't have faith at Open Door Independent Baptist Church, but have faith on your job that, my friend, as you go and speak to somebody about Christ, that God can save them on their job. Hey, go and have faith when you go to Walmart that God can supply your need. Hey, just have faith, my friend, all abroad. Hey, Jesus Christ said, hey, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My friend, our faith should just be more than just what's right here. Our faith should be scattered abroad. He says, I want you to go abroad. Listen to what he says here. I want you to go abroad of all thy neighbors. He says, I want you not only to go abroad, but I also want you to witness to all your neighbors. Our faith should be demonstrated in our neighbors, my friend, in front of our neighbors. This morning, you know what happened? Me and my wife, we drove to church van. We went to go pick up some people to bring them to church. We're going to establish a bus route, and we're going to pray that God would allow one of you to take over the bus route and drive it not for your pastor and don't drive it for your church, but drive it for God. And we're going to try our best to fill the bus route up. We're going to try our best to fill it up, my friend, to the capacity. And all somebody else has got to do is say, Preacher, I want to drive the bus, and you go visit them on Saturday, and you go pick them up on Sunday, and you bring them to God's house. Well, this morning we took the church van and picked up some people and brought them to God's house. We drove past our house to pick up Sister Smitty for church this morning. I looked in our house. I looked in our driveway, and there was my truck, and there's my wife's van. I didn't tell her, but I said, our neighbors is going to think we're not in church this morning. They see my truck. They see your vans. They're going to think we done got backslid on God. They think we done got back in the world, and they're going to think, hey, them people's not in church, and they should be in church. My friend, our faith shouldn't be just closed up to these four walls here. Oh, preacher, I got great faith that God can heal me. I've got great faith that God can save my friends. I've got great faith that God can save my daughter. God can save my son. God can put our marriages back together. And as soon as you get out of the church building, the devil brings somebody by and it just hurts your heart. And it just gets you, my friend. And it just do something to you. And then all hope is gone. And all faith is gone. And you don't even know if you're going to live and see tomorrow. Our faith. God's stretching our faith. Why is everybody getting sick all of a sudden? Open door. Why is everybody having surges all of a sudden? Why was everything going so good there for so long, but now a lot of people's getting sick. A lot of people's having surgery. Why has the money been so good for so long? But now it's running low. It's running out. It's running down. In America, God's testing and stretching our faith. He said, I want you to do something. He said, you won't understand it. But I want you to keep going. Keep pressing on. Keep telling your neighbors. Keep telling your friends. And keep telling the world that Christ is still coming. Not only the precept of our faith, the place of our faith, but I want you to notice this next thing, the product of our faith. Now, I want you to get this tonight. Notice what it says here in verse 3. The Bible says, then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow, not a few. You know what she said? She said, Lord, I'm in trouble. I need some help. And the man of God said, hey, go borrow vessels from thy neighbors. And by the way, sometimes when God's put something in your heart to do, your neighbor's not going to understand it. Your brothers and sisters in Christ is not going to understand it. Church members that's not faithful to God, that does not have a vision for God, they're not going to understand what God has put in your heart to do. They're not going to understand it. I can stand up here tonight and tell you all kinds of things that I believe God wants me to accomplish with my life. And there will be some people in here say, Preach Scott, I don't understand that. I don't believe that's possible. I don't believe that God really wants you to do that. Sometime, my friend, God is testing your faith and God is stretching your faith and you tell it to your neighbor, you tell it to your friend, and they're going to say, hey, I believe you're loco. That can't be true. That can't be true. How many people did I go to when I was thought I was getting called to preach, and I said, I want you to pray for me. I believe God's calling me to preach. And they laughed. I said, you going to be a preacher? You can't talk, you can't read, you stutter. You're too embarrassed to get up in front of people and talk, and you're going to be a preacher? How many people laughed when I told them, hey, I believe God wants me to be a pastor of Open Door Independent Baptist Church. Hey, I said, well, hey, look at your age. You're only 27 years old, 28 years old. You're too young to be a pastor. You can't help nobody else. You have no experience. You have no education. You have nothing that you can give to people to help them out. Hey, thank God sometimes you don't need to listen to your neighbor. You just need to listen to God and keep on going on with God. Sometimes they say your husband, your wife, your daughter, your sons got too far away from God to be saved. Well, that's hogwash. Don't listen to them. God can save anybody. If God can save you, God can save anybody. If God can save me, God can save anybody. Here, the man of God says, hey, I want you to go to your neighbor's house. They might ridicule you. They might mock you. They might laugh at you. But hey, just do what I want you to do. And God says, hey, if you want to have great faith, I want you to have great faith. Your faith has got to be tested. Your faith has got to be stretched. He said, hey, go abroad to all thy neighbor's house. The product of our faith. He said, hey, borrow empty vessels, but not a few. You know what we need to do, church? We've been shooting at skunks. We've been taking our shotguns and loading them up and shooting at skunks because we know we can hit them. It's time for Open Door, my friend, to get our shotguns, our spiritual shotguns loaded up and shoot for the stars. My friend, God's testing our faith and God's stretching our faith. I want you to know the product of our faith. Hey, God wants us to go big and God wants us to go large with our faith. I'm not talking about buildings. I'm not talking about school buses. I'm not talking about all these things. I'm talking about your life, my friend. In my life, God wants us to go big with our lives and just throw everything at God's feet and say, God, here I am. Use me and make me and mold me to whatever you want me to be. He said, here, go to your neighbor's house. Borrow all the empty vessels that you can. You know what we want to do? When God tells us to do something, we'll go to one or two neighbors and ask them, hey, do you got just a little small vessel I can borrow? I'll get back to you. I might not even use it. I probably won't even use it, but hey, can I just borrow an empty vessel? Here, God says, go to all thy neighbors, not just one or two, but all thy neighbors, and borrow empty vessels, but not a few. He says, in other words, I want you to borrow all the empty vessels that they have, all that they will give you. Just get all of them, and I want you to bring them to your house. Because I'm going to prove myself to you. You know what you need to do? You don't need to bring one or two of your problems to God. You need to bring all of them to God. You need to bring every problem you got to God. God, I can't make my house note this week. And God, if I don't make my house note, then I'm going to be behind. And you say that thou shalt owe no man anything. And God, I want to pay my house note. I want to be on time. And God, I don't have the finances. Would you please help me? And oh, yeah, by the way, God, I've got a little sniffle. And that little sniffle is going to turn into something big unless you help me. And God, my head's hurting today. I want you to please help my headache. This morning, my wife, you know what she done? She inhaled something. I don't know, cocaine. She inhaled something. They got her nose burning. And she said, I don't feel good. My nose is burning. And just a few minutes later, she said, it feels like my lungs is just getting tight. She said, honey, it seems like it's getting hard for me to breathe. Driving the bus. She said, honey, I can't breathe real good. I didn't close my eyes, but I prayed and said, God, would you please help my wife today that she'd be able to breathe? Would you clear that up for her? Please, Lord, help her. You're going down the road a little more. She said, honey, my head's starting to hurt. I believe that. Cocaine done something to my head. I said, honey. I didn't say honey, but I said, God, help my wife's headache. Please just take it away from her today that she'll have a good day. My friend, there's nothing too small that you can bring to God. He's not willing to listen. He's willing to listen to anything that you bring to him. God, I want you to give me a good day today. I don't know if I'm going to have a good day, but I want you to give me a good day. God's listening. God's listening when you say, God, would you please help my sore throat out this morning? I told my wife, I told my children, I said, I hope I'm able to preach this morning. My throat was getting sore during Sunday school class. And I wasn't screaming and yelling up here singing at the choir. Normally, I try to sing loud so they have somebody to follow, but I just sung real soft. I asked God, please, Lord, give me a good voice to preach with. And God did. Here, you know what the man of God told his woman? He said, hey, you go to all your neighbor's house and get every empty vessel that you can and bring them to your house and shut the door. I'm going to show you something. Many times, you know what we need to do? Our faith, our neighbors need to see our faith. The world needs to see our faith. And we need to come to God and say, God, I'm not going to be scared. I'm not going to be shy. I'm not going to be timid. I'm not going to just borrow a few vessels, but I'm going to borrow every vessel that comes my way because I believe that you can fill it up and use it for thy glory. She took all them vessels. Her two sons gathered all them vessels. They went into the house, and the Bible says they shut the door. Sometimes, my friend, when God tests your faith, he gets you all by yourself. It might be just you in your family. It might be just you, my friend, but hey, God's doing something wonderful in your life. And he shut the door. She shut the door. All of her friends and neighbors was outside. And she was there by herself with God. And the man of God says, hey, not only do I want to show you the product of your faith, but the prize of your faith. She took that little pot of oil and she began to pour it out in those vessels. And the man of God says, hey, when you fill up a vessel, you pick it up and you take it to the other side and you set it down, you grab another one, you bring it over here, you take your pot of oil that somehow has replenished itself, somehow God has added back to it. He says, you take it and you pour it out again. And when you fill that vessel up, you take it and you set it over here and you do it and do it and do it and do it. You can't explain it. You don't understand it, but just go out and do it anyway. And she filled up all the vessels. And it got so good, Sister Jamie. It got so good, boy. She was having a good time. She was taking that pot of oil that just had a little bit in the bottom. She could see it in there. She said, hey, that's not enough for nothing. That's not enough for nothing. But I'm going to pour it out anyway. I'm going to give to God what God's given me. And she poured it out, and it filled up another pot. It filled up another pot. She said, hey, I don't understand it, sons. I don't understand it, Justin. I don't understand it, Brandon. But for some reason, God is blessing. And for some reason, God is good. And she poured it out and poured it out. And I pulled it out, and she said, son, bring me another vessel. And the son looked down and said, Mama, you done used up every one we got. We don't have no more. You know what God can do? God can take your life and stretch it and make it what he wants it to be. And God can use your life, my friend, to do something great that you can't even imagine. But God can use your life. Hey, if God can use my life, hey, just a country boy, my friend, that was going nowhere. I was headed 100 miles to hell like somebody else was driving them race cars, headed 100 miles to hell. But God saved us, and God's changed us, and God's put us in church, allowed us to help other people, allowed us to teach God's word, allowed us to be a witness for Christ. Hey, sometimes God said, hey, what you got, just pour it out, and just pour it out, and I'll multiply, and I'll use it, and I will do what you don't think and don't have no knowledge of what I can do. You know what she done? She took that little vessel, a little pot of oil. She poured it out. I believe she filled up great big old pots. And she poured another pot full and pulled another pot full and pulled another pot full. Not only the product of our faith, but the prize of our faith. Notice, I believe you would, verse 4. The Bible says, I believe it, verse 4, the oil stayed. Is that what it says? Let me read it for you. Let me read what it says here. I'm sorry. Verse 6. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the vessel was full, that she said unto her sons, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. The oil stayed. Here the oil stayed, my friend. What does that mean? That means what she was giving away, actually she kept. You give your life away, you can keep it. The Bible says, if a man shall lose his life for my sake, shall gain it. The Bible says, if a man shall keep his life, that shall he lose. In other words, if God saved you tonight, if you're saved by God's grace, and you will keep your life, and use it for yourself, and use it to advance your character, and use it to advance your kingdom, and use it to advance whatever it has in your life, God says at the very end, you're going to lose everything that you've got. But God says, hey, if you give your life away and you lose your life for my sake, then shall you find it. In other words, God says, hey, if you get caught up in me, if you get sold out for me, then I'll give you a life that you can't even comprehend. What I'm trying to tell you this morning, sometimes God tests our faith and we don't understand it. Here the man of God say, hey, I want you to go and borrow vessels from the neighbors all abroad. Just go everywhere and borrow vessels, not a few. And I want you to take your little pot of oil and pour it out and pour it out and pour it out. And then finally in verse 6, the Bible says, the oil stayed. She had enough. She had enough. Great faith will go all the way with God. You know that? Great faith. I don't know about you, but I want to go all the way with God. God's got so many desires and so many things in my heart and mind. I believe God wants to do something great here. We're in the process of putting together a newsletter. I want you to pray about it. And that newsletter has got events of open doors. It's got a message from the pastor. It's got an insert or a piece of a message that I preach. It's got the way of salvation. It's got all kind of wonderful things from Sunday school teachers and children's church workers. And Brother J.S. going to have a part in it. And we're all going to put all kind of things in there. And you know what we're going to do with those newsletters? We're going to mail them out to every member of the church. But not only that, we're going to mail them out to everyone that's ever visited this church. You say, Preacher Scott, that's going to cost some money. It is. We're praying that God will supply. You say, Preacher Scott, that's going to cost somebody some time. It is. But your time's never wasted when it's spent with God. You know what we hope? We hope the newsletters will bring people to the knowledge of Christ. We hope the newsletters will maybe encourage somebody to come visit our church and they get saved by God's grace. I believe that's something God has equipped us with. I believe that's something God has allowed us to do. And Lord willing, we're going to try to do it as soon as possible. You say a little newsletter? Yeah. It's got to start somewhere. Beloved, we've got to do something to get the gospel out to Marion County. We've got to do something, my friend, to get people saved and get them on their way to heaven. Because Christ is coming back soon. And he's going to come back and he's going to take all of us to be with him. And there's not going to be time left to do anything for Jesus then. The Bible says work. The Bible says there's but 12 hours in a day. The night cometh when no man can work. And beloved, I believe we're on the very last few minutes of that very last hour. Christ is coming. What can we do to get people saved? I believe the start is that newsletter. And I hope you get excited about it. I hope you pray for it. I believe these CDs. I know it might not have been as clear as it could have been. It might not have been as articulate as it could have been. Hey, but these CDs can lead somebody to Christ. The Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You said, Preacher Scott, you spend all that money on CDs. Why? Hey, it's just not to record the messages. It's just not to say, hey, look what we got. We got CDs. It's to get the gospel out. It's to get the message out. It's to get people some help, my friend. Get some help. You know what we've done to ladies' meeting? We recorded those CDs. We gave some to Brother Robert Lucas. We gave some to Sister Patty. And they said, we're going to take them home and give them out to the people in our church. But I hope it helped them. But I hope they got some strength from the ladies' meeting. Recorded a message Wednesday night. And a person in church said, Pastor, I want to copy that message. I want to give it to somebody. They got a copy of it. I hope it helped somebody out. I hope these messages we got on salvation, I hope it gets somebody saved. I hope the newsletters that we sent out, my friend, I hope that gets somebody saved. Here the Bible says, hey, I want you to go and borrow vessels from all thy neighbors. Borrow empty vessels and not a few. God's given us something to do. God says, I want you to take something small and give it back to me, and I'll be able to use it to fill up more and more and more and more. He says, don't worry about yourself. He said, the oil will stay. Whereas God says, you use the money. You use the money that's in the offering plate for me. And I'll make sure you got enough to pay for your lights and pay for your water and pay for the gas and meet the needs of the church. My friend, has God let us down yet? He's not let us down. He's not let us down one bit. But God's given us opportunity to do something great for him. And I want to do it. The testing of our faith. You say, Preacher, I don't understand it. Well, join the crowd. I don't either. Why? Why has God given us, and I hope you're a part of this us, why has God given us this great desire to see people get saved? Why has God given us what we need to see people get saved? God hasn't just given us just to sit down on our blessed benefits and watch the world go to hell. God hasn't given us the money offering plate just to pay the lights and just to pay the water bill. God's given us that money, my friend, to get the gospel out. Why has God given us a mouth not just to keep it quiet, but to open it up like a mockingbird and sing unto the Lord and tell people about Jesus Christ? Why has God given us such a nice automobile and such nice clothes and such good health? He's given it to us, my friend, so we can go out and make a difference in this world. Last year, my truck, me and Brother Jim used it for a visitation. He didn't have a bit of air condition. Brother John, you know what we had to do? We rolled the windows down and hit 55. Brother Jim worried about his hair messing up. I said, Brother Jim, don't worry about it. I'm hot. You know, fat people sweat. I'm hot. I'm sweaty. I'm tired. I'm ill. I don't even want to go visiting. But we went visiting anyway. You know what God done this year? That same old truck. Hey, the air conditioner started working in it. Somebody took out a few shims or put some shims in and closed that clutch together so the air conditioner started working. But what I'm saying just use what you got for the Lord. Just use what you got for the Lord. I want you to notice this next verse here, if you would, verse 7. We'll close with this. I don't want you to get bored with it, but let's look at it. It says here in verse 7, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. In other words, God said, hey, if you do what I want you to do, you'll be able to make all your bills, all your notes, all your finances, and hey, you'll still have some left over. You know what God says? God says, I'm going to stretch your faith. I'm going to try your faith. I'm going to test your faith. Just so you'll have greater faith. Just so you'll have greater faith. I want our church to have great faith. I want our church to have great faith. I've got faith, my friend, that God's going to put that in somebody's heart to drive the bus. That's why my wife, I didn't tell my wife. My wife told me, hey, we need to start using that bus and going and picking up Bill and Lucille and bring them to church. Sister Abby comes to the house, and she said, by the way, preacher, I talked to Bill, Uncle Bill, I believe she said, and she said, Uncle Bill wants you to come by and pick him up tomorrow for church. Oh, being a great super-duper Christian that I am, I looked at Sister Abby, and I said, that's not my job. We said we weren't going to drive the bus. Somebody else needed to drive the bus. I was whining and crying because I got to get up early and drive the bus. I don't want to do that. And my wife said, hey, I believe we need to go by and pick them up. Well, if you want to pick them up, you go by and pick them up. I ain't going to pick them up. I got too much other important things to do. I got to get ready for Sunday school. I got to get ready to preach God's word. Hey, I'm the pastor. I shouldn't have to drive the bus. And she said, I bet if we start it, maybe somebody else will come along and pick it up. I believe Elijah had the mantle of God in his hand. And when he crossed over and the chariot of fire come to pick him up and take him to heaven, the Bible says he dropped the mantle and Elijah was there. He picked up the mantle and done a double portion of what Elijah done. You know what I'm saying? It's time for our church to have great faith. Not just to borrow a few vessels, not just to tell a few neighbors, but to go abroad to all of our neighbors and borrow every vessel we can and say, hey, God's doing something great in our church, and I believe next Sunday morning, it don't matter what our pastor preaches, I believe next Sunday morning, somebody's going to get saved by God's amazing grace. I'm going to invite my family. I'm going to invite friends. I'm going to invite my neighbors. I'm going to invite the lowest sinner I can to church because he might just be the one to get saved by God's grace. I believe God can do it, don't you? I hope you do. The Bible says the old stayed. And in verse 7, the Bible says what they had, her and her children was able to rest or was able to trust or was able to be provided by what was left. I believe God can provide for us. As we do God's work, God will provide everything we need. You know what? I told the men in the men's prayer room, and I tell you, I told the men in the men's prayer room, I looked at them and said, I want y'all to pray that we get a tabernacle or a pavilion. You ever been to Petty State Park and saw those pole sheds, those canopy tops that keeps the hot sun off of you? I said, men, just pray that God provides the necessary means, that God would either provide the materials or provide the money that we can use it, my friend. We use every dime in the building fund to put up a tabernacle back there behind the trailer. You say, why are you going to do that, Preacher Scott? So we have some place to preach to these young people. So we have some place to have picnics at. So we have some place to get up under that shade and not have the sun to roast us. But I think about our heritage, my friend. That's all they used to have in those old wooden tabernacles. And they got up under them and preached the gospel and saw God move and saw God do wonderful things. I think about how nice it would be in the springtime and summertime to go out there up under the tabernacle and have an old-fashioned Sunday evening service, my friend, and let our neighbors hear and sing amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. To let our neighbors hear us sing Victor and Jesus, my friend. To let our neighbors hear us sing all those wonderful hymns and let them hear the preacher preach and see people get saved and see people walk the aisle and see our young people involved in God's work, my friend. I want us to know something. It's time for us to have great faith in God, and what God wants us to do, God will provide. He never guides where he never provides. He always provides where he always guides. And I'm telling you now, just help us pray about what God wants us to do. Because I'm a young man. I don't know everything. But I know it's time for our church. It's time for us. It's time for you to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. It's time for us to take on more missionaries. It's time for us to pass out more gospel tracts. It's time for us to get on board and say, Pastor, we'll drive a bus and we'll pick up drunks and harlots and whoremongers and bring them to God's house to see them get saved. Preacher Scott, I want you to order another 5,000 tracts because we're going to pass them out in a month. And Pastor Scott, it's time to get door hanger bags ready because we want to get our community, we want to get our neighborhood and give everybody a gospel tract and give everybody a gospel witness. Hey, Preacher Scott, it's time to move forward. It's time to go forward. It's time to go on. God has stretched our faith, and God has tested our faith, and God has proved himself that he's well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Preacher Scott, Pastor Scott, it's time for us to go forward in our Christian lives. It's time to go forward, beloved. I'm not satisfied sitting back and watching the world go to hell. We need to be involved and be active and be going. Father, help our hearts tonight during this invitation time. I have no idea what people need to pray for and pray about. But I know within myself, I look at myself and wonder how much more can I do. If I give myself to you, I could do a whole lot more. But God, never help me to be involved and be engaged in things that's not from you. I want my life to be consumed with Christ. I want our church to go forward. I want our church to advance forward in this fight of faith that we're in. And God, I thank you for stretching our faith. God, I thank you for testing our faith. And God, we have our eyes upon you tonight because we realize the only way we can accomplish what you want us to accomplish is through your power, your strength, your grace, and your sufficiency, God. It's not our flesh. We have no confidence in the flesh, but all of our confidence is in God and God alone. Father, help me tonight to be the pastor I should be for this church, for these people. I don't want to get them involved in nothing that I want to do. But, oh God, I want us to be all involved in what you want us to do. God, help us to be occupying till you come. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. If you will, let's stand to our feet and with our heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. The invitation starts. I want to ask you this question. Are you here tonight? Would you be willing to raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I need you to pray for me. I've never been saved. I don't know Christ as my Savior and preacher. Don't come to me. Don't call my name out. Don't embarrass me. But preacher, I need you to pray for me because I've never been saved. And I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I know I need to get things right with the Lord. But somehow something is stopping me. And preacher, I need your prayers." Is there anyone in here tonight? Just slip your hand up real quick and say, "Preacher, you pray for me. I know I need to be saved." God bless you. I saw that hand. Is there another? Is there another? Be willing to lift your hand. "Preacher, you pray for me. I know I need to be saved." How about you tonight, beloved? You're saved by God's grace. Is God doing something right now to test your faith? Is God doing something right now, my friend, to stretch your faith and to mature your faith? If he is, thank God for it. Because he's got something, my friend, he wants you to accomplish before you die. And he's trying all he can to give you the great faith that you can put back in him and trust him and lean upon him and worship him in spirit and truth and to know it's not what we can do, but it's what God can do. I'm going to tell us something. As your friend, some of us has been satisfied with sitting down doing nothing. It's high time for us to awake. It's time for us to get up, get going, be involved, be about our Father's business. It's time for some of us to have that great faith in God and say, "Pastor, we believe this is what God wants us to do. And we're going to give every heartbeat we have to it." He said, "Preacher, I used to do a lot of things. I used to be so involved. I used to be as one that just get up and go. At the drop of a hat, I witnessed and tell others about Jesus. But now it's time for somebody else to do it. That's hogwash. What you've done last year will not be sufficient for today. God's given us something to do today. He'll give us something to do tomorrow. And it's for His glory. Father, we thank You for testing our faith. Lord, the world will understand why we spend our time and our talents and our tithes and our treasures the way we do. Other churches might not understand why we go out and visit the way we do and why we're so vigilant about passing out gospel tracts and being a witness for Christ and trying to witness to others and tell them about Jesus. God, that's foolishness to the world. But God and I, we know that's what You want us to do, is to be a witness, to get the gospel out. And Father, I have a burning desire in my heart to make sure before I die and go to heaven that everyone that's in Marion County and all the surrounding counties will know who Jesus Christ is. They might not get saved, but Father, have a gospel witness from one of us from this church about who Jesus Christ is. And God, that's impossible to do without You. You said go into all the world and preach the gospel. You said You shall receive power if the Holy Ghost will come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto Me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. God, it's impossible for us to do that without You. But all things are possible with Jesus. God, help our hearts to know what You have us to do. And may we be diligently at what You've given us. May we everlastingly be at what You've given us to do. May we give every breath.